The Derek Hunter Show.
WBAL News Radio 1090.
Oig of all, baby. It is the Derek Hunter Show. I am the Derek Hunter, conveniently named and located here at National Harbor at the Gaylord for the Conservative Political Action Conference. We've been having an action-packed day, and we'll have another one tomorrow when we're joined by Scott Walker, Carly Fiorina. I can't even remember who else, but every 10 minutes there's somebody new joining me. And speaking of somebody new joining me every 10 minutes, his name is Charles C.W. Cook. He is at the National Review, and he's also the author of the forthcoming book, The Conservatarian Manifesto. You can get that at Amazon, spelled like it sounds. Just search Charles Cook with an E at the end, and you'll find it. Welcome to the show, Charles.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you coming on. Now, first, the Conservatarian Manifesto. What is the Conservatarian Manifesto about? Because you said a lot of people think of the Conservative Manifesto. That is not it.
No.
It's not the Unabomber's Manifesto either?
No. And the red cover is a little bit of a joke. People have asked me about it in earnest. I mean, that is obviously a little bit of teasing. No, people are shy often now of using the word conservative, Republican. Mm-hmm. Many conservatives say, oh, I'm really a libertarian. I say I'm a classical liberal. I am. I'm not trying to avoid the term. But I think that's because they're fed up with the Bushes.
Well, the brand doesn't mean anything if you just label yourself.
Right. And so you hear people say this, especially over drinks at this sort of conference. They say, well, when I'm around libertarians, I feel conservative. Mm-hmm. When I'm around conservatives, I feel libertarian. And they may disagree on a number of issues. For example, I think younger people are more likely to favor the legalization of marijuana, possibly the end of the war on drugs completely.
Right.
You see increasing support for gay marriage among younger conservatives. But then conservatarians seem to be less tolerant of the libertarian position on, say, abortion, foreign policy, and immigration. And so what I wanted to do was look at who these people are, where they come from, why they're angry, and then to try and find a way that they can coexist within the same movement.
This is very interesting because I just had a discussion earlier today with Matt Welch, Reason Magazine. And he was on a panel last year, Can Social Conservatives and Libertarians Ever Get Along?
Yeah.
I don't think they can.
No.
He's much more hopeful than I am. That's not easy. That's not that hard to do. But my theory is that even if you agree on 90% of the things, it's the 10% that you really care about. And those are the things you disagree on, and that's what you vote on, that's what you judge people on.
Right.
And it is the gay marriage, it is the legalization of drugs or decriminalization of drugs. Those things, they're never going to see eye to eye, and therefore it leaves the libertarians open to the libertarian movement.
True.
And, usurping by progressives where really there should be natural enemies if you really get down to it.
Right, but I think there are a few ways out of that. The first one is many of these issues get taken off the table. So whether conservatives like it or not, I think the gay marriage fight is over. I think the Supreme Court's going to end that. Now, my position is I'm in favor of it at the state level. I don't think that it has anything to do with the 14th Amendment. But mm-hmm. what I think is irrelevant here. So you then have to ask the question, well, what does a conservative / libertarian do once that issue has been settled? And I think there are so many important areas to work in. For a start, conscience rights, the maintenance of the constitutional order. We can't just keep up making rights. So some of these issues get taken off the table. As to your point about incompatibility, again, you're right. In the sense that a libertarian
who is... Put that on a loop. Again, you're right. Make that a ringtone.
A libertarian who is pro-choice and a conservative who is pro-life probably can't compromise. That's one of the issues on which one can't compromise.
But even if they agree on everything else, they won't get along and they will vote against each other's candidates because of that one issue.
They will. But here's the thing. Most people aren't like that. That's not how most Americans think. We argue these issues out. We take them very seriously. I don't think that the Republican Party is represented in its base and its voting bloc by the people in this room.
Mm-hmm.
So, you have to ask the question, well, what are the best ways of coexisting? Now, sometimes you just have to say, we're going to pick a side. But often you don't. Take the drug war. Paul Ryan's position on marijuana strikes me as being eminently sensible because it keeps the existing base, which is largely against decriminalization, on side, while permitting him to express his own conscience and also to allow experimentation. So Paul Ryan says, look, I'm against the legalization of marijuana, and if I were a legislator in Wisconsin, I would vote against it. But I want the federal government to get out of it so that the states can set their own policies. There's a harmony there, because mm-hmm. I can vote for that, and those who want their representatives to be against marijuana.
But that's an incredibly nuanced argument that you could make over drinks, that you could make over dinner. On the campaign trail, I don't see how that argument can come across because it's not a two-second soundbite.
So at the heart of the book is a sustained defense of federalism, not just because I think it is the best way to harmonize the various factions on the right, but I think increasingly in America, it's going to be the way that the country stays together. If you want the Baptists in Mississippi and the hipsters in Portland, Oregon, to survive and both to love the word America, if you want to create a country in which somebody who vehemently disagrees with me can live happily in their state or their city and I can live happily in mine, you're going to have to make a return to the American settlement that was designed, with a few exceptions, of course, for civil rights and a few national government programs. And I think that answer is also the way of harmonizing the right. And that's good for conservatives because, in general, they can say, what we want to do is leave more of these decisions. So you will win some and you will lose some, but we don't want to impose everything from the center.
My guest is Charles C.W. Cook, the book coming out May 10th?
March 10th.
March 10th. Yeah. The Conservatarian Manifesto. I got to ask you, what's CW stand for?
Christopher William. And the only reason it's in there is because Charlie Cook, the pollster.
Right.
I normally call myself Charlie, but people were mistaking me and saying, oh, I've been reading you since 1975. I said, well, you haven't.
You're the most prolific zygote there.
Exactly. And
so this is your first ever CPAC. Obviously, people can tell by your voice you're Canadian.
Exactly.
And, you know, growing up in the UK, growing up in Britain, is there anything similar to this? And what are your impressions of this?
Well, it's funny because it's obviously a big conference, but I've been to NRA conventions now for 3 years in a row, and this is smaller. So the first thing I thought when I came in is, this it? You know, you walk, essentially, when you go to the NRA convention and you see the speakers, it's in a Madison Square Garden-sized arena. But no, there isn't really anything like this in England because we don't have a vibrant conservative movement. We don't have a
particularly... And you have so many different parties.
But we have many parties that are all roughly in the same position. Now, I know people like to say Democrats and Republicans are the same, and sometimes it can look that way in Washington. But if you stretch from Bernie Sanders to Louis Gohmert, you have a real gap. In England, you don't have that gap.
I think we just found the 2016 ticket. Everybody can get behind. Charles C.W. Cook. Just what's the easiest way to find you online, to find about the book? Can you go to National Review and learn how to spell your name?
If you go to conservatarian.com, there's a website there.
See, that's what I was trying to avoid people having to spell or remember.
Well, if you just type if you type Charles Cook Manifesto, you'll get the Amazon page. You can pre-order
it. There you go.
It.
That's how you do it. That's how you find the book. Charles Cook Manifesto into the Google machine, and it and the internet gods will spit it out for you. Pre-order it. Coming out March 10th.
That's right.
Appreciate your time. Thanks for stopping by. And it's nice to meet you and enjoy it. And I'm sure that we will be at places where adults of a certain age will be imbibing later and have a chance to talk more.
Excellent.